Now, that all being said, well, I do have a couple of folks here in the studio that I've teased you with this morning, and I've got Seal and Tommy, Master Gardeners Extraordinaire, in the studio. And, well, I'm trying to heap some praises on you because I may have a gardening emergency coming up, and I'm not sure yet if I'm going to need your services. I'm just buttering you up
luck,
for the
buddy.
Long run.
Good luck.
What's your emergency?
My wife has a plant that she wants to maintain, and my daughter does not want it in the current location, and let's just say that the discussions and negotiations are ongoing.
Well, it's not the time to move it.
I am aware of that. I am not the decision maker in most cases. I rarely do anything more than act as arbitrator or judge, and sometimes I just sit back and try to let the problem wash itself through one way or the other. This is not the time of year to be pulling things up, to be transplanting anything, to be moving anything around that is of any size at all.
No, you're going to want to wait till the fall. Fall actually is one of the best times to move something the size. Mm-hmm. All right, dig it up as much roots as you can.
Yes.
I've actually read some stuff on when you move plants to cut the roots back just a little bit because it stimulates more root growth.
Oh, okay.
All right, but get a good root ball with it and you may want to cut the plant back a little bit so that the roots don't have to support quite so much plant. That's more important in the spring than the fall.
Okay.
But by all means, you're going to want to do that and water it in good. And if you're tempted to move it in this god-awful time of the year with the heat and
beautiful time of the year
and our usual dry season
yes.
in the summer, you're going to water and water and cut it back.
Yes.
Even in the spring, I've moved some hydrangeas that I split early in the spring.
Okay.
And I had some that I had to, with a pretty good size root ball, all right, these were not just little seedlings that had come out. And it was just a struggle, and this is back in 1st of May, so it's certainly a good time. And I cut the plant back by a third and had immediate results the next day.
Wow.
No more wilting. It just, there wasn't enough roots to support how much was above the ground.
Right.
And it's a good lesson to learn, even those that of us that think we know what we're doing, sometimes we find out we're not as smart as we think.
Well, one thing about gardening is it is an ongoing life lesson.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Amen.
I remember talks with my grandfather, and I certainly didn't appreciate the gardening that he was doing back at the age that I was visiting with him. Just some of the conversations that I had with him, he learned something literally every time he stepped out there to play with something out there in the yard. And I think that's true for anybody that does any gardening.
Well, my dad's 92 and still gets around, and he still goes and buys plants for his pots all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
He rides his lawnmower out to the backyard so that he can get off it and sit on a stool and do what he wants to do. So,
great plan.
And it's a good, it's great exercise, even on a limited basis as my dad's doing it. His age, that's great exercise.
Yes, it is.
And it's great motivation. I think gardening's healthy from a physical as well as a mental standpoint.
Well, that is a big thing right there. Right now, we are looking at people that have been shuttered up. They've been shut in their houses for a while now. They've been looking for a little bit of an outlet. And one thing we are seeing now is that they've started small little backyard gardens, small little terrariums, window boxes. There's a lot of people that have taken up gardening over the last few months.
Stop by one of the box stores or one of the nurseries if you don't think people aren't out and about. They are loving it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's a freedom. It's like you say, they can stay at their home. Mm-hmm. They can dig in the dirt. They can work off whatever frustration they have and have a good time at the same time. And I'm right in the middle of it. But do remember, guys, the weather has changed. It's hot. Get your gardening, get your outdoor activities done before noontime. It gets hot in the afternoon. You don't need to be out there, at least I don't need to be out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And and I attempt to get up at early, and in fact, when I leave here, I'm going home to mow the grass. So it'll be done by 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yep.
So anyway, that's
just a little bit of intelligent application of usage. You don't want to be out there in the middle of the day. I remember work
in the shade.
I remember many days temperatures 100 degrees up on top of an awning in the summer sun of Bakersfield, and thinking I would much rather be doing anything on the ground instead. And you can get out there, you can do some gardening, but just don't do it in the middle of the day, and don't water in the middle of the day. I think is something that
But do water. But
do,
do,
do water.
Water.
Yeah, do water. Just don't do it during the middle portion of the day. We have come up to a hard break here at the bottom of the hour. I do have Tommy and Seal from the Master Gardeners in with me here this morning. We're going to take this quick little break. You are listening to the morning show here this morning on Mountain Home Radio. And And we are back, the morning show, Mountain Home Radio. It is Wednesday morning. We're looking at the 17th day of June 2020. And if it's the third Wednesday of the month, well, that means I've got the Master Gardeners in the studio with us this morning. And it's always good to have them in the studio. And sort of a different start this morning with the folks from the hospital calling in. Once again, a big thank you going out to them for keeping us informed. But that gave us a little bit of an oddball start to things. So I need to back up to where I would normally start the conversation with the Master Gardeners. And Seal, do we have a plant of the month?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we do. Imagine that, huh? We're going to talk about butterfly weed.
Oh, thank you so much, because my wife was just talking about this.
Well, good.
Yes.
Well, you're probably seeing it. I was on the road the other day between here and Harrison, and there's a bunch of them grow wild right alongside of the road, blooming their heads off right now. Beautiful plant. It's native to our area, so you'll see it growing here and there. Gets to be about 1 to 2.5 feet wide by 1 to 1.5 feet.
Okay.
Excuse me, 1 to 2.5 feet tall and 1 to 1.5 feet wide. The book says it blooms from June to August, but I'm thinking it's more like about a 5-week period.
Okay.
That makes it sound like it's you know, 8 or 9 or 10 weeks, and it's not
right,
quite that. We're all familiar with the orange, but there also is a native that is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see it, it's still a good attractor for your pollinators.
All right, okay.
Okay. Takes full sun, medium to low water needs.
Right.
Okay. Not a fussy plant for your yard. It's deer resistant, drought tolerant.
Resistant.
Well, there's nothing that's deer proof.
Right.
Okay. And I could, I won't tell that story because I was ready.
Hostas are proof of that, yes.
Oh, no. They ate the flowers right off all my day lilies
the other day.
Oh, my goodness. They were all ready to pop. I must have had 30 blooms, and I think they ate 25 of them.
Oh,
I was,
no.
And I went out the other evening to let the dog out about 8:30, and Mama and the baby was standing just ready to go at the rest of them.
Yeah. Or, yep.
But anyway.
Back to the butterfly weed.
Back to the butterfly weed. Tolerates dry, rocky soil.
Okay.
All right, so easy plant to grow.
So it should grow in Arkansas.
It is. Yes, it will. It is a good source for your pollinators, especially your monarchs. Now, I want to caution you. If you see a colorful caterpillar munching on the leaves,
yes,
and they will eat those leaves quite a bit, and if they're quite colorful, they're lime and yellow and white with a black stripe, you're going to notice them right up front.
Yeah.
Don't spray.
Exactly.
Those are baby monarchs,
yep,
all right? So most of y'all know that, but for those that do, because believe me, some of us, myself included, have made that mistake, okay?
Yep.
It can get to be have crown rot if it's too wet. So you don't want to overwater this, all right? Normal water needs there. It is not one that once it's established that likes to be split and moved, but it will self-sow a little bit.
Okay.
But not aggressively. But you're going to have more trouble if you try to split and move them. And
gotcha.
You can try, but it better be a seedling, not something where the taproot's more established.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay? Just leave it undisturbed and life will be good and enjoy it. Enjoy the butterflies. More than monarchs will come to it. They're blooming right now. Have a good time with them.
There you go. And we do know that the monarch butterfly right now is not necessarily an endangered species, but we're seeing the number going down. If you want to have those pretty butterflies in your yard and help things out, that's just an easy way to do it.
Well, you need the pollinators.
You do need the pollinators.
If you got a vegetable garden, and as you're going to want them.
Yes. Once again, I'm looking at people that have like pages and pages and pages of notes, and I always feel so inadequate when I look down at this. It's just you guys do your homework, and I never know sometimes which direction to go next because there's all kinds of personal questions that I want to ask, and I sometimes don't always follow the agenda that you guys have set.
That's fine. You
out,
ask
so.
Your questions.
Let me tell you a funny story. The other day, Seal invited me over to Master Gardeners trade plants or give plants to each other.
Right.
I went over and we dug up a bunch of her daffodils, and she gave me about half of them, or gave me a bunch of them.
Okay.
And then I went home and planted the daffodils. So now I've got daffodils with her name on them out in the front of our house. And that, again, that's a great plant to trade and to give to people. And do that. If you're a gardening guy, share and share and share. You'll get people interested. You can if you have an overabundance of one plant and you need to divide them every once in a while.
Yep.
You just need it for their sake also. But it was so much fun to be over there digging in the dirt with her. And anyway, we had a good time. And she has a beautiful, beautiful place.
Thank you.
So anyway, very pretty.
Well, there's just so many things you guys are involved in. I think the first place I want to start at right now is we know that you guys have the gardens throughout our area, And now that some of the restrictions are being lifted, are you guys able to get back out there and maintain the stuff like maybe Callista Ouellette or anything like that?
Not on a real big basis.
Okay, I didn't know how the guidelines went for you guys yet.
Yeah, the university hasn't opened us up to groups of more than one or two folks.
Okay.
All right. In an emergency, if they bless it, 10 of us can get together. But otherwise, right. It's really restricted to one or two folks. So the gardens are not in as good a shape as they might have been.
Right.
As soon as they give us permission, we're hoping the 1st of July that we'll hear something more positive there. And if that's the case, then I'm sure you'll see an influx of us. Some of the folks have been getting out there one or two at a time,
okay.
But I can't promise that that's happened in every place.
Well, yeah, and the only one I see on a regular basis is right there on the corner of 5.
Oh, she.
And,
I
get the biggest chuckle every time I drive my grandson around that because he sees the mask on the tree and he thinks that's the greatest thing in the world.
I do, too.
Four-year-old young man that will not wear a mask for anything. So, you guys, you have pages and pages and pages and pages of notes up. Where do we want to jump off to next?
We're talking about watering. I think you started.
Well, again, that's one of the things you've got to do. I have transplanted some plants, and they're growing and doing well. But we got spoiled there with all the rain we had week after week after week. The last 3 or 4 days, not so much. And if you've got plants, particularly plants that are in pots, get out and water them. I did that last evening, and like Seal said, it's not a good idea to do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Wait till 7 or 8 o'clock
right.
or do it in the morning.
Yep.
Morning's actually better. But anyway, get out and do that because they were dry. They are dry. And if you're leaving town for a period of time and you've got some, you need to get a friend or neighbor or somebody to help look after them because they can't take much 95 degrees without water. So that's why I was pleased to hear your weather forecast because I'm going to see my grandson.
But, you know, that forecast next week, most of it's for 50% rain and for scattered showers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean the whole region's going to get it. And I can tell you, they call the place where I live Dry Corners because a half mile away it could be raining and it won't be raining at my place, you know. And anything you just moved new that you have in your garden, something you divided and split or something new that you put in, they may not be established yet. And they've kind of got spoiled with all this rain, so they may need a little more attention when you get to the point of 4, 5, and 6 days without any moisture. So it's a good idea every morning, and it's a good thing to do when it's cool in the morning and peaceful. Go out there and walk around your garden, take a look, and just see what's going on. You'll catch more problems that way before they're a real problem.
Yep.
All right? And just pay attention to what's going on.
Well, and go back to my grandfather. I remember him just right around dusk every evening. He'd go through there and put just a little splash of water on everything, and he'd check out all the plants to make sure that everything was still looking good.
Absolutely.
I guess as old people do that because I can't stay. I get out and do the very same thing. I just walk and look around to see what's going on out in the yard. And it's kind of funny in the morning time. We live on the river, and the guides will come by the house dragging their boats, and they'll wave at me. That's crazy old man's out in the yard doing what he does. But anyway, it's fun. But do take care of your plants. We're getting into the tough time of the year for those guys.
Right.
They will grow if they have water, but make sure they have plenty of water. Another thing, with all this rain and all this other good stuff we've been having, the ticks and the bugs and the little critters are out and about, and I must have something that ticks love. And I actually have some spray right as I walk outside every morning or every evening. I spray myself because I've always 90% of the time I'll have short pants on unless I'm going to weed eat or do something like that. And I'll spray down. My legs may fall off someday, but anyway, I spray and get out there. So.
Well, and the like you said, we're starting to see, with the rain finally coming to an end for a while, we're starting to see a huge influx of all those creepy crawly things. And those can also affect the garden right now, a couple of things crawling into the garden inappropriately. Well, what do we do about those unwanted pests right now this time of year?
Well, that's a good question. It depends how bad they are.
Okay.
I'm an advocate of kind of leaving nature be unless it's just out of hand.
Okay.
All right, you got to pay attention to it.
Right.
All right, but you know, some of that, when you spray many times an insecticide, you're killing more than the bug that you want to kill. You're going to also kill the beneficial insects.
Right.
And you don't want to do that. You don't want to scare away and kill the pollinators. They're already stressed. So Japanese beetles are out right now. Mm-hmm. That's probably one that everyone's seeing. The population at my place isn't terrible right now. I see them and I pick them off and do them in.
Yep.
All right, when I see them, but I'm doing it in a little, you know, stepping on them or a glass of soapy water, and that'll take care of them.
Right.
And you do something like that, you're not upsetting the balance in nature so bad. But again, if they're not real bad, I kind of don't. I had one rose I looked at this morning, and there were four of them on one rose,
wow,
on one bud. The rest of the buds were clean. So that tells me that the population isn't real bad this year. So, you know, that I'm probably just going to leave be.
There you go. Okay. Well, we actually have a chance to go to break on time, so I'm going to take this opportunity right now to tell everybody that you're listening to The Morning Show this morning, brought to you by your friends over at Baxter Regional Medical Center. Stop on by and download that Baxter Regional Care Urgent Care app. You will have a doctor in your pocket wherever you go. We are going to take this final break of this morning. I'll be back with a Master Gardener to wrap things up in just a moment. And we are back. The Morning Show, Mountain Home Radio. I've got the Master Gardeners in the studio with me this morning. Well, two of them anyway. I've got Seal and Tommy with me. A good sampling of the Master Gardeners here in Baxter County.
I hope so.
She's the boss lady. She knows She's in. She's actually a board member and everything else. I'm just a guy that they hang around and talk and
board
take pictures.
Board member is
so.
Only a board member because nobody else wants the job.
You know, I found that out about planning committees also. That's a different conversation. Yeah. There are a few more things that I want to get to right now. One thing that I do want to ask just on a personal basis. We have seen a lot of water at various times this year, and some plants in some gardens have just been flooded so much that we've lost the root balls on them. We've lost the plants in some cases. When we have this excess amount of rain, if you have an area that you've got a plant you want to keep in that area, but it doesn't have sufficient drainage, is there really anything you can do to help out a little bit with something like that, or you need to do some actual structure work to help that out a little?
Move the plant to where
it wants to be. Okay.
Yeah, it's the best thing you can do. I mean, I've moved plants all around the yard to find them. I think one of the best examples is I had a limelight hydrangea up against my house.
Okay.
And it was a south-facing wall.
Right.
And it was just too hot, and it would bloom. And it would just, the flowers would turn brown in no time. And if you'll know, that plant is one that once the buds are lime, the flowers turn white, and then they turn blush pink, and then they turn to tan.
Yep.
And this was just going from white to brown. It was just too
hot.
And I moved the shrub in the fall, okay, moved it to a place that faced to the east, all right, and it was up against a forested area, so it was getting morning sun, which is enough sun. It probably could use another extra hour or two to bloom a little stronger than it does, but it still blooms sufficient, and it's happy, and it does what it's supposed to do.
So keeping the plant happy is pretty important.
You have to keep, the plant's got to go where it wants to go, not where you want it to go.
That is probably the most important thing about gardening is pre-planting, and when you buy a plant, and I'm the world's worst. I've told you that before. I walk in a store, find a plant, then I figure out where I'm going to plant it.
But we all do that.
That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to plan what you want and then buy the plants. But do look at the plant. And I guess now that I'm getting older and looking around, you drive through neighborhoods and you see a guy that plants a tree 2 feet from his house.
Yeah.
Well, that'll make sense. That's just not smart business. And
right.
So if you know a tree is going to grow and be big, put it out in the middle of the yard. If you know a bush needs full sun, put it in full sun. I mean, give the bush or the plant, put it where it's supposed to be. And don't try to, like Seal said, don't try to force a square peg into a round hole. It doesn't work. But anyway.
Raised beds also will help with
yes.
drainage. So if you've got something that you want, again, you can plan for it. And all of us buy things, fall in love with them, and take them home and say, where can I put it?
Right.
But you got to read the label. You got to do your research and put the plant where it belongs. Now, that might mean that you have to move some stuff around.
Yeah.
And I bought something last year that I bought it in June and didn't plant it until October.
Okay.
Because I needed to move some stuff around to make it happen.
Right.
And so you're going to have to babysit it if that's what it is, but sometimes that's what you got to do to make it work.
You have no idea how much you just tickled me. I'm not going to snip out that little section of the conversation right there and play it back for my wife here in a few hours.
I'm going to cause marital trouble.
No, that's actually a very similar situation. She purchased something and we have no place for it, and I told her that, well, we'll worry about that sometime here in the fall. We're not worried about it right now. She was a little bit upset at me for that answer, but right now, if it's comfortable where it's at, I don't have any reason that I need to move it.
No, it's just a container plant.
Right.
You have to water it every day when it's 95 degrees, and you might have to water it twice if the pot's not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
If the pot's not big enough, you might put it in a bigger pot till you have a chance to put it where it belongs.
Right.
But putting it in the ground now is probably the hardest thing you can do. So, sometimes you'll do well, sometimes you won't, but it's not the time to be to be starting fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Now's not the time to be just taking on a brand new challenge for absolutely no reason at all, and that's pretty much the answer that I'd had. Right now, we are seeing temperatures warming up for summertime. Tommy was talking about watering. For those plants that maybe do need a little bit more TLC through the summertime, do you have any good tips for that?
Just pay attention to them.
Just pay attention to
them. Let the plant talk to you.
Okay.
All right. We talk about that with pruning. We talk about that with maintenance. The plant will tell you what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If it's turning yellow, it could be too much. It could be too little.
Right.
So it can go either way. But if you pay attention to what's going on around it and you're walking past it every day or two,
mm-hmm.
you'll know if something's wrong.
Right.
And that's the best thing to do to take care of them. And if you have anything new, like we said earlier, pay attention to it often until you get it past the hump.
Well, yeah, and Tommy said something about the big box stores and the sheer volume of people that have been buying plants over there in
big
box stores. And I know a lot of folks, they get those things home and they get them in the ground and they do everything they're supposed to do for the first week or two, and then they get tired of the plant or life takes over. And suddenly 6 or 8 weeks down the road, that great tomato plant they bought or that other thing that they purchased to do something with isn't growing.
You know, that's the fun part of watching gardening. Everybody in the springtime, it seems like they want to get their tomato plants in the ground first. They want to do this first. They want to do all this stuff. And then when the weather turns to about 90 or 95 degrees, you don't see these cats out there in the yards anymore.
Yeah.
And they all these gardens that are just photographed beautiful, now all of a sudden they got weeds and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a full-time job, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because I don't have a lot of sun in our yard. So I've kind of taken to putting my tomato bushes in pots.
Right.
And they're out at kind of where I can get to them and give them some pretty good care. But that makes it easier for guys like me. But if you have a big garden, think about that big garden when you plant it or when
mm-hmm.
you till it earlier in the year, because that big garden's going to need your love all year long.
Especially, you know, if you have containers here, there, and everywhere
right.
in the yard. Remember, you're going to be dragging a hose
every day
around it, yep.
And, you know, that's great if you got the time and the ambition
mm-hmm.
for it. But if you've got a life that you're not home enough to do that, then it could be a problem. And you may have to situate those where they're more strategically placed.
Right.
We talked last month about Japanese spikenard being the plant of the
mm-hmm.
of the month, and that it sometimes got thirsty.
Right.
And we planted it on the route where I have to go water pots so that I could give it that extra drink without having to think
Smart
about
idea.
It.
There you go.
Right. So, you
little
know,
bit
it's,
of pre-planning.
It's a little pre-planning. Now, again, it was an impulse purchase when I bought it years ago. All right.
Yep.
But, and I wound up moving it because where it was inconvenient to get that hose to it.
Gotcha.
And you
okay.
wouldn't think those few extra steps would make a difference. But when you're
they
dragging
sure can.
100 feet of hose, it
yep.
does make a difference. All right.
Yep.
So do all those things. Pay attention to what's going on. Time to harvest your garlic. Time to split and cut back your irises. All
is
right?
it already time to harvest the garlic?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was
is.
Still a little bit early for that.
No,
depends
it's
on how early you get
it
in the ground.
As
middle
soon
of June
as you
yeah.
see the leaves start to yellow.
Yellow, yep.
So you want to play with all that and fertilize your containers if
mm-hmm.
you haven't.
Amen.
Fertilize your rose bushes with the 3-in-1.
Oh, yes.
Once every 4 to 6 weeks
yep.
until the end of August, and you should be happy.
Unless you have hostas and you live near Tommy.
Well,
Let me give you.
I got no promises on the deer.
Let me give you a good luck story on hostas. I transplanted all mine, a bunch of them, that split them this year.
Okay.
And boy, I tell you, the smartest thing I did. Now I have twice as many of them,
and they're
growing like weeds. They are doing good. They're beautiful, and they. These guys, these are actually perfect spots for them. They sit on my deck, and they got anyway. Nice place. One other thing, rose bushes. My knockout roses went through a beautiful session. Now
mm-hmm.
they're coming back and they're being beautiful again. So
fantastic.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, that's great. I was giving Tommy a countdown here as we were heading out of the show, and I hate to cut him off because there's still a few things that I like to ask, but we have come up to the end of this edition of The Morning Show. Tommy and Seal, as always, thank you guys both for being in here this morning. Certainly appreciate you guys showing up. All you folks on the other end of the radio, want to thank you for tuning in this morning to this edition of The Morning Show. That being said, I'm getting ready to slide on out of the air chair. I will do some work here behind the scenes, and I will be back with more tomorrow. Have a great day.